We're the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with DeGrom.
Kittens are. This is Sports Crunch with DeGrom. I'm your host, David Cromelo. It is pretty much crunch time for all 32 NFL clubs as we are just 17 days away from the 2024 draft. Teams are flying prospects in for top 30 visits at breakneck speed and have also just begun the second consecutive week of final pre-draft meetings. By next week, boards should be finalized and draft day plans and strategies, including trades, will begin to be ironed out. And it's no less busy here at Sports Crunch as we make the fifth stop on our 2024 Dash to the Draft Divisional Tour today in the AFC East. Based on the moves that have occurred within the past month, this division appears to be very much up for grabs this season. So, what must the Patriots, Jets, Dolphins, and Bills do in this draft in order to give them a leg up on the competition for the 2024 AFC East crown? Joining us to answer that question and a lot more is my good friend and honorary country music soul brother, Billy Rossetti, who covers the Jets for the USA Today Jets Wire. Billy, my man, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. How you doing?
Well, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. You know, we got to catch up a bit in Mobile, and now we're doing this again. You know, it's been a few years now. I've been jumping on with you, and it's always fun to do this. And concert season's and starting to roll up already. In fact, I already have one under my books this year, so we're off and running.
We most certainly are, and this is shaping up to be a fun annual tradition for us to talk in Mobile and to talk on this podcast right before the draft. And without further ado, let's start with the team that could very well hold the keys to this draft, and that is the Patriots. In New England, the Patriots are entering year one of the post-Belichick era under new head coach Gerard Mayo and have the third overall pick in this draft. And as NFL insider Benjamin Albright reported a few days ago, it is a, quote, coin flip, unquote, as to what they do. That is not surprising, since the decision the Patriots face is far more complicated than many fans may think. On one hand, quarterback is obviously the most important position in sports, and there's no guarantee the Pats will be picking this high again anytime soon. And if you have a firm conviction that one of the quarterbacks remaining on the board at three will be successful regardless of circumstance, you absolutely stay put and select that quarterback. But on the other hand, this Patriots roster, as currently constructed, especially on offense, is not an ideal situation for a rookie quarterback at all. They have absolutely no weapons in the passing game that scare opposing defenses, and their offensive line has far more liabilities than assets. As Daniel Jeremiah said on his podcast this week, opposing GMs told him that if they were running the Patriots, they'd trade back and stockpile more capital in order to rebuild the roster more effectively. So my question to you, Billy, is if you're Elliott Wolf, who's the Patriots' de facto GM, what would you do with that third overall pick?
They really are kind of a wild card because this defense, you know, you look at the defense and they are very talented here. But the offense, like you said, just, you know, you look at the roster, there's no one really scaring you. I mean, Kendrick Bourne's fine. Yeah, DeMario Douglas is fine. But, I mean, there's no, like, big-time threat there. But when it comes to the quarterback position, you're obviously not going to be, you know, you hope you're not in this position, you know, for a number of years. You're hoping you're not sitting with a top three or five pick in next year's draft. And the early outset, I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of us really haven't done much deep dive into next year's class, but the early outset is it's not as strong of a class next year as it is this year. I mean, you know, Carson Beck's a pretty good option. You know, we'll see what some of the other guys. But to me, I just think they strongly have to consider going after their guy now. It's a new regime, you know, for the most part, a new regime. Obviously, Gerard Mayo was from the Belichick tree. But Elliott Wolf now with GM, Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, you know, and he feels like he's going to have a hand in selecting their next quarterback. So I personally feel they have to strongly consider, I'll say, I'm not going to 100% lock it in, but I'll say strongly consider taking a quarterback, whether that's Drake Whitmay, whether that's Jaden Daniels. And, you know, I think at some point you do play him in his rookie year. I don't know if you necessarily have to have him sit the entire season. I mean, right now this roster is constructed. I mean, it's not, this season's not going to go very far, I think, for the Patriots anyway. They really, you know, they tried to make a big splash in free agency, didn't happen. They tried going after Calvin Ridley, didn't get him, you know. So you mostly have the same roster that you did last year, and they only won 4 games last season. So there's really not much going, I think, for the Patriots offensively. So I think at some point the door is going to be open for whether, again, Daniels, May, or even McCarthy, who knows what they're thinking, but whoever they take to get some regular season reps as the season goes on. I do think Jacoby Brissett obviously will be, you know, the week one starter, but at some point they're going to be like, okay, let's see what we have in, you know, this quarterback that we are now investing a lot of draft capital and a lot of money into.
That is a very excellent point, Billy. And I think this could be a potential compromise for the Patriots with that number 3 overall pick. If they do indeed stand pat at 3 and take a quarterback, should the Patriots have Jacoby Brissett start the entire 2024 season, and whichever quarterback they select take the reins in 2025, a la Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes?
I don't think you necessarily have to have him sit the entire season. I think that Chiefs season, obviously the Chiefs were still a really good team, right? And Alex Smith was still winning them a lot of football games and getting them to the playoffs. They got to the point where that last game really meant nothing for them, and they had the ability to start Patrick Mahomes in that last game. I don't think this Patriots team is competing for, you know, again, as currently constructed. Could they maybe make a swing later this offseason for, say, a Brandon Ayuk and all of a sudden have a big wide receiver or draft a few guys? Sure. But right now, I just don't see, especially in that division with how good the Bills are, still, even after what they've done, the Dolphins are still going to be pretty good, and the Jets on paper should be pretty good. So the Patriots, I think, are going to struggle again this season. I think the door maybe, I don't know, mid-season, week 10 or so, there's a window, I think, that you get that starting quarterback in there and start getting him, you know, getting him those reps, start getting him, you know, comfortable with the offense. And like I said, just, you know, seeing what you have in a guy that you're now going to invest a lot of money and a top 3 pick in. You know, it's not like they're in a position where they don't have to throw them into the fire like the Jets did a couple of years ago with Zach Wilson. But I think at some point this year, you will see whoever they take at 3, if it's a quarterback, in the starting lineup.
You can't argue with that plan either. And speaking of the Jets, it is a make or break season for both general manager Joe Douglas and head coach Robert Saleh, as they are all but guaranteed to be out of a job by next January if Gangrene fails to make the playoffs this season. Thus, the Jets went all in during free agency to upgrade the supporting cast of 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. They got him a new wide receiver in Mike Williams and plugged their massive holes in offensive tackle by trading for Morgan Moses and signing future Hall of Famer Tyron Smith. Before free agency, most, if not all, mock drafts have the Jets selecting a tackle with that 10th overall pick. But shortly after the news of the Tyron Smith signing broke, myself and several others on draft Twitter immediately concluded that the Jets were going to draft Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. Given the win now or else situation the Jets find themselves in, does it feel inevitable to you that Bowers is going to be the pick at 10 if he's there?
I don't know if I'd say it inevitable, but I would say he's got to be up there on their board. Bowers obviously would bring such a dynamic to this offense. You know, and they can certainly use a bump in the tight end position. I mean, Tyler Conklin's nice. Jeremy Ruckert's nice. But neither of them give you the athletic ability, the catchability, the physicality that Brock Bowers can give you. And, you know, again, this is about pushing all in. You hit the nail on the head at the start there. This is a make or break season for Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh. If it doesn't happen this year, they're gone. That's why I, you know, they don't even necessarily care. Like, you know, cool, they traded a 2026 pick to get Hassan Reddick. Well, if things bomb out this year, they're not going to be making that pick anyway. So Bowers certainly would be nice, but I just think they just have a lot of flexibility now with that pick because of, you know, the free agency haul, like you mentioned. I think another wide receiver certainly is in play because you really don't have anybody after Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams. I mean, Alan Lazard, obviously, that blew up in their face big time. I don't know if they're really ready to keep pushing Jason Brownlee or Xavier Gibson. I mean, he's a nice special teamer, but not somebody you're probably going to see on a consistent basis offensively. So another wide receiver there, I think, is certainly in play, whether that's Roma Dunze, whether that's Malik Nabers. Could they trade up for Marvin Harrison if they really want to be aggressive? Maybe. And then offensive tackle, I think, still has to be in play too. You know, obviously they got Smith and Moses, like you mentioned, but both of them are on contract years. You know, they're both free agents after the year. And, you know, so I think Olufashinu would still fit in there nicely. I think, you know, they've obviously been connected a lot to Talese Fuaga of Oregon State. If Joe Alt somehow falls to number 10, which I think is very unlikely, but if somehow, or again, if they want to be aggressive and trade up, Alt, I think, would be a great fit there because he becomes your swing tackle for year one, and then you just plug him in on either side in year two. And if, say, you know, Moses or Smith get hurt, Alt an easy plug and play. So they have a lot of flexibility, I think, with that 10th pick.
I actually think they should take a tackle because, like you said, Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses are both on one-year deals, and Tyron Smith, it's only a matter before that guy gets hurt, unfortunately, at this stage of his career. It's pretty much a guarantee. So you want to have...
why that contract is full of incentives.
Absolutely. And that is why they should absolutely highly consider a tackle there, because they need extra insurance to protect the 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. And another guy they could target, especially if they move back from 10 to recoup some of that lost value in the Aaron Rodgers trade, Troy Fautanu out of Washington. His five-position versatility would make Joe Douglas blush.
Yes. Yeah, that's another guy, too. They obviously love flexibility along the offensive line. It's obviously one thing they liked about Elijah Vera Tucker, but, you know, given his injury history now, they've said they want to keep him at one position, which, you know, we obviously figured, and they came out and confirmed it was going to be right guard. But you're right. Fontenot is another guy that I think would fit really well. And certainly trade down is an option for them as well. Because remember, they don't have a second round pick. They sent that to Green Bay in the Aaron Rodgers deal. And they only have two picks in the top 100. You know, they have a third round pick, and that's it. So you're trying to balance pushing all in with setting the team up for the future. You know, and again, you know, if things are successful, then Douglas and Saul are going to stay. If not, then, you know, it's going to be somebody else making the picks. But, you know, so it's a fine line, I think, that they're walking here. But yeah, a trade down certainly wouldn't be the worst option, because you could, you know, potentially still get someone like Fuaga. You could get, like you said, Fontenu, maybe like a Brian Thomas from LSU. So again, there's a lot of options at play here. I think the way they went about free agency really opened the doors for them with that first pick.
Definitely. And now on to Miami, where after a promising season was derailed in heartbreaking fashion due to a slew of injuries, the Dolphins entered the spring in a massive salary cap hole and had to say goodbye to core players such as Xavier Howard and Christian Wilkins. However, Miami shrewdly navigated free agency as they signed several good players at positions of need to bargain deals such as Jordan Poyer, Shaq Barrett, Jonnu Smith, Jordan Brooks, and Kendall Fuller. In addition, they were able to re-sign some key pieces along the offensive line, such as Isaiah Wynn and, just a couple days ago, Kendall Lamb. Thus, the Dolphins are one of the more difficult teams to gauge when it comes to what they'll do in the first round. What positions do you think they're eyeballing the most with that 21st overall selection?
Well, I think one position they're probably going to look at is defensive tackle. I mean, you lose, obviously, one of their biggest losses was Christian Wilkins to the Raiders.
They lost Ray Von Davis too.
And they lost, yeah. So certainly some holes to fill on the interior now. You know, so you're talking, you know, you could be looking at someone like, say, a Jerzan Newton out of Illinois, a Byron Murphy out of Texas. And, you know, I think those are certainly some names that come to mind. Offensive line, you know, it feels like it's a broken record with the same offensive line in the Dolphins. really on both the tackle and interior. I mean, you know, how much longer is Teron Armstead going to hold up? You know, he's like a poster child now for with all these injuries. You mentioned Isaiah Wynn. He doesn't have, you know, the greatest, although he has bounced back in recent years. So I think that's another position they could look at, maybe like a Jackson Powers Johnson,
Graham Barton. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So so that's another spot I think they could look at. If Brock Bauer somehow falls to 20 to 21, they'd be in heaven. But I think that's, you know, tight end's probably another position that they'll probably look at some point. And then corner too, I think, you know, obviously losing. Yeah. Xavien Howard, you know, you're taking a hit in the secondary as well. Obviously, you know, Jalen Ramsey is still there, and they did sign Kendall Fuller, but another corner there certainly wouldn't hurt. So maybe like a Rake Straw or somebody there. So or a Nate Wiggins. So certainly, I think, you know, they're another team where they're gonna have options. They're an interesting team to try to figure out here, especially with, you know, of course. What do they do with Tua Tagovailoa? Do they extend him? How much money are they going to give him? They're just going to be they're a fascinating team to follow at this point.
Absolutely, Billy. And like the Dolphins, the Bills also had to dig their way out of a sizable salary cap hole this spring, and as a result, embarked on an aggressive roster reset. Players they said goodbye to included Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, Gabe Davis, and just a few days ago, Stephon Diggs, who they traded away to the Texans and were more than willing to swallow a $31 million dead cap charge this year alone to do so. This leaves Josh Allen with a wide receiver depth chart that includes Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir at the top. We all know this is a deep wide receiver class, but there's a real possibility that the second tier of receivers like Brian Thomas Jr. of LSU and Nye Mitchell of Texas et al. Start to come off the board much earlier than anticipated. That said, Bills general manager Brandon Bean is not shy about trading up in the first round, as he has done so four times in the past 6 years, including last year when they moved up for Dalton Kincaid. If you need to move up to, say, picks 12 to 15 in order to nab one of those aforementioned wide receivers, should Brandon Bean be more than willing to do so?
Not only, I think, more than willing to get into that range, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes even higher than that, try to get into the top 10. The Bills have to still feel that as long as they have Josh Allen, they're a contender. And they're going to do whatever they can to support Josh Allen and to keep that Super Bowl window open as long as possible. And if that means flipping a first-round pick next year to make a move up, you know, almost like a Julio Jones type trade, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think that's absolutely on the table for Buffalo to trade up for maybe even a Roma Dunze or, you know, a Malik Nabers. Could they get up, flip their first and second rounder this year and then a first rounder next year? You probably could get up around the top 10 to 12 and be in a good position to get one of those guys. So yeah, absolutely. I think if the opportunity presents itself, you know, and you look at the draft order, potential trade targets, would the Bears be willing to trade all the way down from 9 like that?
Not if Adunze is still on the board. I don't see that happening.
Right. Sure.
Another team that comes to mind is the Broncos at 12. The Broncos at 12, they're obviously still premium draft pick deficient due to the Sean Payton trade, and they want to recoup some of that value. So let's say the big three go in the top 10, but like the Colts and Jaguars are eyeballing Brian Thomas Jr., who is a perfect weapon for Josh Allen, given his deep speed. And the Bills are almost certainly going to have to jump those two teams if one or both of them are interested. So the Broncos at 12 could be an option for Buffalo there.
Sure. There, maybe New Orleans at 14. So, I mean, there's possible targets if they want to make the move up. Everyone likes to talk about to the trade pick value chart. Buffalo, sitting at 28,660 points, you know, let's use Denver as an example, number 12, 1,200 points. So that's a difference of 540. Well, Buffalo's second round pick would be 300. So obviously you got to flip something there, I think, to, you know, if you have to overpay, you know, again, if it takes the first rounder or the second rounder next year, if they're willing to be aggressive, flip that first round pick next year and then, you know, ensure yourself of getting where you need to.
Not only that, there is precedent of making a trade from where the Bills essentially are right now to that juncture of the draft. And it happened 2 years ago when the Lions, who had the 32nd overall pick courtesy of the Rams, traded all the way up to 12 with the Vikings so they could draft Jamison Williams. And that's the Lions actually traded picks 32, 34, and 66 to the Vikings for picks 12 and 46. And if the Bills have to burn 28 plus their second this year and one of their 2 seconds next year, I think Brandon Bean would gladly be willing to make that deal. And I think the Broncos would absolutely be open to such a package.
And you know what? That's actually, and I saw Joe Marino on Twitter mention that as well. I do agree. That's actually a really good
example.
You know, example. Yeah. I was trying to think of like a better term, but yeah, example is a good word. Yeah. Brain fart. I think this whole draft season is starting to get us. We can't think of simple words. Yeah. That's a really good example of, you know, kind of the value that it's going to take for them to get kind of where they need to, if they want to get one of these guys. And like you said, a guy like Brandon Bean, who's going to try to keep the window open as much as possible, do what he can for Josh Allen. Yeah, I think if it's there, he's going to strongly consider it.
He is Billy Rossetti, ladies and gentlemen, of the USA Today Jets Wire. You can follow him on X at Billy_Rossetti. And now, Billy, it is time for the best part of our Dash to the Draft Divisional Tour. You get to play GM for all four AFC East teams with three-round mock drafts, albeit no trades are allowed. We start with the Patriots at 3. Caleb Williams obviously went 1 to the Bears, and the Commanders actually took Drake May at 2. Would you take J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels here, or would you take Marvin Harrison Jr., even a Malik Nabers here?
It would be Daniels for me. I think they, in this position, especially if Washington takes May, I think getting, you know, Daniels, who obviously you get all that mobility, I think a guy like Alex Van Pelt could really do well with him. We obviously saw what he was able to do with Joe Flacco last season somehow, and I think he at least got to come away with a top quarterback. I just don't know how you chance passing on one of these guys if you're staying at 3, and then you don't know what position you're in next year, and then, you know, it's just going to start to snowball. So, yeah, it's Jaden Daniels here for me.
Yeah, if the Patriots stay at 3, they're almost certainly taking a quarterback. We're back on the clock again with the 34th overall pick, and you got to get Jaden Daniels a weapon, and Ladd McConkey is the best wide receiver on the board. Do you think he should be the pick here?
Yeah, we got to get some weapons here. I obviously really like Ladd McConkey. I mean, we saw him. You know, Roman Wilson's still on the board too. I think he's another fine option. But I mean, we just saw how McConkey dominated one-on-ones, team drills, whatever it was, all week in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. If you somehow don't know his name yet, then I guess you've just been in hibernation for the last couple of months. I would love to see Jaden Daniels throw to Ladd McConkey. I think that would be a really neat pairing here. So yeah, let's roll with McConkey here.
Ladd McConkey, it is at 34. And we're back on the clock at 68 overall in the third round. And Keon Coleman out of Florida State is still on the board. I think the Patriots should highly consider doubling down in this case because Keon Coleman, yes, he has his flaws, but he is the best contested catch artist out of the wide receivers in this draft, arguably. And he is the perfect complement to a Ladd McConkey.
You know, yeah, you certainly have to consider double dipping, absolutely. You know, edge is still going to be a possibility here. Offensive tackle, though, there's not too many, you know, strong options. I mean, Blake Fisher's on the board there at tackle, but you know, with how the board's shaping up here, we can probably wait on tackle at this point and maybe take our chances on a swing guy. So yeah, I guess we could have a little fun here and go with the double dip, go with Keon Coleman, and now all of a sudden we have two kind of threatening wide receivers to go out there with. Now again, you know, are they going to come out and just absolutely dominate? Are we going to see a Puka Nacua type deal here? Maybe not. You know, this obviously isn't the Rams office. This isn't the Sean McVay offense. But I think you now have the foundation to start building something good here on offense. And, you know, in about a year or two, when these guys really start to develop, now you're really going to start to see something, I think. So that would be an intriguing. And obviously the legs of Jayden Daniels just gives you that extra threat too. So you'd be building something pretty nice here, I think, if they come away with Daniels, McConkie, and Coleman.
Absolutely. And now on to your Jets, who are on the clock at 10. Brock Bowers is the best player on the board, but let's check the tackles. Talise Fuaga and Troy Fautano are still available, and Olu Fashanu is available as well. So one of those three tackles are Brock Bowers. Take your pick.
And it feels like, you know, if they stay at 10, this is, you know, probably going to be kind of a lot of the options. I mean, you know, the consensus and, you know, certainly the real draft may throw a big curve, but it's possible the only tackle off the board by the time the Jets get on is Joe Alt. So they should have their pick of the litter. I mean, Brock Bowers obviously would be tough to pass up on, but I do also like some of the tight ends later in the draft. I like, you know, a guy like Ben Sinnott of Kansas State. You have a guy like Theo Johnson of Penn State. You know, with this board, I just keep thinking back to the connection that the Jets have had with Talise Fuaga. Jeff Ulbrich was one of the head coaches at the Senior Bowl. Yeah. Fuaga obviously was there, and they really got to see him up close. And the sense is that they just really love his game, and I think he could be a really good swing tackle to start, and you could probably play him kind of on either side, and there'd be obviously no rush to get him in there day one because you have Smith and Moses. But he's a guy that eventually could become a really good starter for them. So as much as it's going to be tough to pass on Brock Bowers, I think I'm going to go with Fuaga here and keep that offensive line kind of intact, not just now, but into the future when Smith and or Moses are gone.
Oh, that pick would make a lot of sense. Plus, not only is Fuaga insurance for Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses this year, he could also be insurance for Elijah Vera Tucker at that guard position if he gets hurt again. So sure. Fuaga would be a perfect pick for the Jets at 10, even more so than Brock Bowers, because the positional value of tight end in the first round, it just doesn't match. And the Jets are back on the clock again with the 68th overall pick in the third round, or the 72nd, my mistake. It's 72nd, not 68, because the Patriots have picked 68. Got that mixed up. And Jalin Polk, a wide receiver out of Washington, is the best player on the board. Jalen Wright, a halfback at Tennessee, if you want a change-up option to Breece Hall with a 1-2 punch in the backfield. And plus, he's a great receiving back. Aaron Rodgers loves throwing his running backs out of the backfield. Jalen Wright is a very good player for that. If you want another edge, Austin Booker out of Kansas makes a lot of sense, although you kind of filled that. No, you did fill that hole rather significantly with the Hassan Reddick trade. So take your pick here, Billy.
Yeah, so, I mean, we could still look at the wide receiver here.
Malachi Corley's still on the board.
Malachi Corley is certainly a nice option. I do think the Jets will look running back at some point, but I think it's also possible they might look for a veteran down the line, maybe a Zeke Elliott, maybe a J.K. Dobbins to pair with Breece Hall. I mean, they like Izzy Abanaconda, and he showed flashes a little bit like in the preseason, but didn't get much playing time until like kind of later in the season, and even at that, he was very limited. So I think they're going to bring in a veteran at some point. Linebacker, I think, is also kind of a sneaky, you know, some depth behind Mosley and Quincy Williams. Safety is another option. They're certainly going to have to look at as well here, because they only have three on the roster right now. You know, we see Cameron Kinches is on the board, Kalen Bullock, you know, if they had their second round pick. The Texas Tech kid, though, too, as we're scrolling the board here. I mean, got to see him at the Shrine Bowl in Frisco, and I thought he was absolutely incredible. And I know just to, you know, name drop, Trevor Sikkema of PFF was absolutely in love with his game. So
yeah, Adrian Taylor,
you know,
Demerson,
definitely need some safety help. So I think we're gonna switch it up a little bit, and I think we're gonna go with Adrian Taylor Demerson.
Dadrian Taylor Demerson, the freakish athletic safety out of Texas Tech, is the pick at 72, concluding this three-round mock for the Jets. And now on to the Dolphins, who have Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois, staring them right in the face.
And, yeah, I think, you know, we talked about some of the other positions here, too. Nate Wiggins here, Cooper DeJean, who is starting to get healthier and, you know, should bounce up the board. But yeah, we talked about defensive tackle as certainly a position the Dolphins can look at after, you know, losing those two guys this offseason. They can certainly stand to bulk up there. And Newton is just, you know, we touched on him earlier in this podcast with, you know, just how strong he is, and he can just be a force inside. So yeah, let's roll with Newton here and try to, you know, soften the blow of losing Christian Wilkins and Daquan Jones.
Absolutely. Newton is a pick that new defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver would absolutely love. Weaver was the defensive line coach for the Ravens previously, and he would absolutely pound the table for a guy like Newton if he is available there. And back on the clock with the 55th overall pick, Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. Keep in mind, Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb are both recovering from significant season-ending injuries, so it would be helpful to get another edge in there. Jermaine Burton, a wide receiver from Alabama, because you do need wide receiver depth behind Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. The Dolphins are more than set at running back. Marshawn Neeland, another edge from Western Michigan, could be a good option here. Jalen Polk, a wide receiver out of Washington. Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M. They did sign Jordan Brooks, but if Anthony Weaver wants another off-ball backer in his defense, Edgerrin Cooper would be a great pick here.
Sure, yeah, a lot of these guys. I also saw Christian Haynes there, too, out of UConn. And, you know, again, we've
got to protect Tua.
Yeah, you know, we talked about, you know, the constant need for offensive line, both outside and inside, and Haynes is one of those guys that I think, you know, can eventually step right in, and, you know, if there's injuries, you know, he can kind of fill in. I'm just feeling like we just need to protect, you know, try to. I know that Miami hasn't had the best of luck with the offensive line, but, you know, maybe we take a stab with Christian Haynes here and maybe get lucky finally with protecting Tua here.
Christian Haynes, the Dolphins pick at 55, and they don't have a third-round pick, so that concludes their three-round mock. And last but not least, on to the Bills, and we're on the clock at 28 overall. Let's see which wide receivers are available. We can't give them Ladd McConkey because we gave him to the Patriots. The other wide receivers on the board, Troy Franklin out of Oregon, Roman Wilson and Ricky Pearsall. The receiver cupboard is bare right now. In other words, the Bills are definitely trading up from 28. They just are. What do you think they should do here? Because no trades are allowed.
Yeah, so I mean, this is an interesting spot, isn't it? You know, we're stuck at 28. We didn't really get a chance to move up here. Yep. And like you said, the wide receiver position, a little barren. So we could consider Troy Franklin here, but I think this may be a position where maybe they wait. Maybe they would consider trading down and get a little value.
Absolutely.
You know, they could use some edge rushers for sure, interior offensive line. I think with Mitch Morse being gone, you know, they're going to move. They'll probably move Connor McGovern to center, but if this guy's still on the, if they really like this guy, could you eventually see a quick replacement for Connor McGovern? Maybe you move him back to guard and put David Edwards, you know, as a backup. Jackson Powers Johnson, I mean, another guy that we talked about as just being so dominant in Mobile. And absolutely. Again, it's about protecting Josh Allen, keeping that window open. Even if you start him on the bench and, you know, start McGovern at center to start the season, that's fine, you know, and eventually work Powers Johnson in the lineup, similar to like what the Jets did last year with Joe Tippmann. You know, Connor McGovern, you know, ironically, obviously not the same one, but he started at center, and then, you know, injuries started piling up, and eventually Tippmann started at guard, and then McGovern got hurt, so Tippmann moved to center. Maybe a similar situation here with Powers Johnson, but I think he'd be a great replacement for Mitch Moore. So in lieu of not being able to snag a top wide receiver like we want to, maybe we quote unquote settle for arguably the best interior offensive lineman and, you know, certainly the best center in Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah, plus Jackson Powers Johnson could play all three interior spots. So this pick makes a ton of sense here. But another pick that might make just as much sense here is Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota. Because keep in mind, the Bills no longer have Jordan Poyer or Micah Hyde. And safety is a very important position for Sean McDermott's defense. And Newbin is by far the best safety in this class. So do the Bills take Newbin here, or do you go with Jackson Powers Johnson?
I think we'll stick with Powers Johnson and, you know, hope that someone like, and I mean, there's still some pretty decent safeties that we can get in round two. You know, we're taking a look at them. So, I mean, Jaden Hicks made it to us. I mean, you know, so it looks like Javon Bullard went off the board. But, you know, Jaden Hicks, I think, is certainly a good fallback option here. You know, the safety out of Washington State, like you said, they need somebody there. I mean, they did bring back Taylor Rapp. They brought in Mike Edwards. But at some point, you probably got to bring in somebody new. And Jaden Hicks, I think, would be, it ends up being a nice fallback option. Somebody at least fell to us in kind of the gamble, I guess we'll say. And who knows? Maybe we don't even see a safety go in round one. It'll be interesting to see with that position.
Absolutely. And we're back on the clock again at 60. And Jaden Hicks is indeed still on the board. But we need to get Josh Allen a new wide receiver. And the best wide receiver on the board, we cannot give them Keon Coleman because we gave him to the Patriots. So it's Jalid Polk, the wide receiver out of Washington. And Jalen McMillan, the other wide receiver from Washington, is still on the board. Do we give him one of those two Huskies?
Yeah, we could certainly, hard to argue either way. I mean, you know, that just shows how good Washington was, that they're going to have three good receivers here. In the first two rounds. Yeah, we'll roll with a, almost feels like a flip of the coin, but, you know, not really. But you kind of get what I'm saying. But yeah, let's roll with Jalen Polk here.
Yeah, Jalen Polk, the Bills pick at 60. And since the Bills don't have a third round pick due to the Rasul Douglas trade they made with the Packers, that concludes the 3-round mock for the Bills. And he is Billy Rossetti, ladies and gentlemen, of the USA Today Jets Wire. Follow him on X at Billy_Rossetti. That's RICCETTE. Billy, thank you so much once again. And that's it for today here on Sports Crunch. But in just a few days, our 2024 Dash to the Draft Divisional Tour chugs along to our sixth stop, the AFC West, where we'll be joined by our good friend Carl Dummler of Mile High Huddle. So stay tuned. Also, be sure to follow me on X at DCrom59 and on Instagram and now Threads at SportsCrunch with DCrom. And remember, that's Crunch with a K. For Billy Rossetti, this is David Cromwell saying so long, and whatever you do, please choose love, please choose kindness, please choose compassion, please choose selflessness, and please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in any sport. Until next time, cats, kittens, stay cool.